Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right. Movie the Podcast. We are continuing down our trek.
We sure are.
Liz had, God damn it, Liz had a really good name for this the other day, and I fucking was going to name check it. Now it's gone. Doesn't matter. I'll come back to me.
Better than Stir Friday.
And after I gave you Stir Friday, we are we're continuing down this chain of events. And we got to watch Vanya on 42nd Street. Also,
yeah,
there was the Oscars, and
fuck them. Who cares?
Big winner, Anora. I'm Anora'd that Dune 2 did not win Best Picture.
Nice. That's PJ's homeboy, though. Sean Baker, the guy who made Red Rocket and the Florida Project. That guy's good.
Honestly, I thought it was his weakest movie. I think I talked about it on the show. I liked it. It's not like Best Picture. I mean, it's a good movie, but like it's my least favorite Sean Baker movie.
This year's Oscars seemed real artsy fartsy. There's the one about like the bricklayer, and then there was this one. And
The Brutalist. That movie is ass. That movie's so bad.
Dude, it's almost 4 hours long. I saw it on the Plex.
Dude, it's so fucking. Adrian, you don't like Adrian Brody?
Nah.
You know, I was about to defend him, and then I think I don't like him either. I can't really.
Adrian Brody.
He was good in Predators.
Isn't that good in The Jacket. Jacket's good.
Jacket's good.
I've never seen The Jacket. I remember the promos for it. I never saw it. I'm trying to think of another Adrian Brody.
I never saw that.
He was in one of these like New York indie crime movies called Tenpenny. I remember liking, but it was like when I liked all those movies, so it probably sucks in retrospect.
I like him in the when he shows up in Wes Anderson films. I typically pass. Enjoy him.
Yeah,
I know.
I don't. I could, liked him.
I pass Gogs.
I liked him in. He's in the Darjeeling Limited.
He's in the Darjeeling Limited. He's in the Grand Budapest. He's in a pass.
Yeah, he's good in both of those. I didn't care. He's in the French Dispatch. I didn't like that one very much.
If he wanted me to like him, speech, he should have been in the early Wes Anderson movies before I hated him.
Take that.
Fucking Adrian Brody.
Damn, take that, Adrian Brody. The best thing Adrian Brody ever did was he was on SNL and like he introduced Sean Paul and he came out with like a fake like dreadlock wig and was talking and like he sounded like Chet Hayes. He was talking in that like Jamaican pastiche. It's very funny.
It sounds funny.
It was supposed to be funny, but it was more laughing at him and not with him. You understand. It happens to me a lot. It's like Gog saying he roasted, he asked if anybody roasted Three Musketeers. I still can't.
Adrian, that hat signifies that you're part of the Rastafarian movement.
I've been Safarian since before you were born. Well, excuse me. All right. What did y'all watch this week? We'll get into Vanya on 42nd, a play.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to spoil things. I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't hate it. No. It's just fucking weird.
Yeah, I didn't hate it, but I also felt I had like a Gogs moment where I was like, I don't think I'm like smart enough to understand why this is good.
Well, it's we'll talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Well,
but we'll get
before we get into Russian farm sadness.
What did y'all watch this week, Alec?
Oh, you're gonna start with me.
Hell yeah. Well, you
it's been a few weeks, boys.
Yeah.
And we didn't record the week before that, I don't think.
I think you're correct.
So I got 9 movies.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's good because I watch nothing. So you
hell
just
yeah.
go at
hell
it.
Hell yeah, Alec. All right. Go for it, dude.
A couple of oldies but goodies. The Accountant. After I saw the trailer for The Accountant 2, I watched The Accountant again. And that movie kicks a pile of ass. That
did
might be
know,
like one of my
did
top 10.
You know they were brothers?
Whoa, Sean, really?
Sean's going to ask the same question. I already know.
Dude, the movie explained that John Bernthal and Ben Affleck were meant to be brothers.
You know? We were shocked that John Bernthal showing up in the second film.
Only for a second. It's hinted at the end when he says, I've missed you, brother.
But you thought he was being like Hulk Hogan. He was using it in that.
Brother.
I missed you, brother. The Accountant kicks a pile of ass. That might be like one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time. Like, it's so good. And it's so tight.
It seems like it's worked into your comfort rotation.
Yeah, I love it. Like, it's so good.
It's a solid, very solid movie. Movie that was marketed like shit because the trailer. Yeah.
Huge surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
Watched They Came Together, a movie that I watched a long time ago and thought was okay, but rewatched it now and it's really funny. It's who's Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler, and it's directed by David Wayne.
Yeah. I
have more appreciation for it now. It's really funny. It's like really fucking funny.
I can't remember.
It's a spoof of like romantic comedies, but it's fully directed by like a state guy.
Mm-hmm.
So like he knows how to spoof things, and it's really fucking funny. Everybody in it is absolutely hilarious.
I'll have to watch. I feel like I watched it, but I don't remember. So it'll be like I never watched.
Yeah, and I don't think it was not that long. Like maybe under an hour and a half. But it's really perfect. It's really good. And like it's all the state people are in it. It's like the state splintered off into the Reno people and the David Wayne Ken Marino people.
Like Michael Showalter is kind of doing his own thing. He's kind of a fringe.
He shows up their stuff every once in a while. What's his name? The guy that used to have that podcast I used to listen to, the red haired guy. He doesn't show up in either one of them.
Kevin Allison.
He shows up and because he's in Role Models.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He's in Role Models.
Shout out to the state. That should
you know that song by Wings. Love taking me down.
Yeah, that's three streets.
Who sings? Nobody sings that. That's not a real song.
Yeah, it's Wings, one of their big ones, one of their big hits.
God, that movie's so fucking good. I need to rewatch Role Models. Rewatched Pop Star.
Hell yeah.
Never stopping.
Now that is definitely a comfort movie for you.
Yes. And I learned something new this time while trolling through IMDb. All the scenes where they're interviewing the rappers about themselves, like the Style Boys, they were actually interviewing all those rappers about the Beastie Boys. So everything they said about them for the Style Boys is what those guys thought about the Beastie Boys. Like, obviously, some of the questions, they reference Connor himself. But, like, all the ones where they're talking about the band and, like, how influential they were and stuff.
That's crazy.
They're asking them about the Beastie Boys, and they just used it as the Style Boys.
How did you find that out?
It was on IMDb. On their trivia section.
That's pretty cool.
Watched some of Alfie. Did not care for it. We turned off Alfie to watch We Came Together, or They Came Together.
What the heck is Alfie?
It's Jude Law. It's a remake of an old Michael Caine movie. He's a womanizer in New York. You're supposed to feel bad for him because nobody loves him anymore, but all he's done is womanize women for his whole life. So, like, who gives a shit? He's just a whiny.
I know how that goes, brother.
The whiny bitch.
just like me.
Watched the new Captain America.
Oh.
And I pretty much agree with Gogs and Nate. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't break any new ground. I feel like it's a missed opportunity to highlight their second biggest black hero in a way, but they didn't really let Anthony Mackie be Anthony Mackie. Like, In the show, I feel like they did. They let him be what he brought to the Falcon and Captain America. And this one just feels kind of like meh and bland. It was all right. It wasn't outstanding, but it wasn't bad.
I keep hearing that it's less a sequel to like the Captain America show and more a sequel to the Ed Norton Hulk movie, which is a choice that I just. Don't even understand. Like that,
it's got both in it. Like, and then the leader looks ridiculous. It's awful. Like, it would have been better if they went 100% comics and just man have like a 4 foot tall head. Looks so stupid with whatever they did to his head.
Did he have any leader beans?
Sorry. I don't even know what that is.
Simpsons reference.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Not a leader. They should have done that in the movie.
Fishing.
I watched Wolfman.
Oh, how was that? I've been meaning
it's
to watch
it. It's not bad. It's all right. It's pretty good. It's not as good as... It's
pretty good.
It's not as good as The Invisible Man. But it's pretty good. I thought it was... I liked it.
Yeah.
Did you like... You liked The Invisible Man, didn't you?
I loved it. Yeah, I thought that was...
Yeah, great. I thought that was really good. This is not quite that good. It's definitely not as good as Upgrade. Upgrade is his best movie.
Yeah, Upgrade fucking rocks.
It's not bad. It's worth a watch. It's not... It's, I think it's under 2 hours. It's like an hour 45. It really, honestly, is one of the few movies that needed more dialogue.
Huh.
Like, there's so many stretches where it's just, like, grunting and wolf noises and, like, hushed breaths that people try to hide.
It's like hanging out with Gogs.
Yeah, his wolf noises are not on fleek.
It's constantly arrogating all over the place.
Hurtful.
It was a compliment.
And then yesterday, well, I watched Pop Star yesterday too. Yesterday, I got high and just sat around the house all day, and me and Stacy watched a bunch of Lifetime movies. Ridiculous, stupid Lifetime movies. So one's called Couples Murder Retreat, where couples Wonderful. Go on a retreat and they get murdered. People get murdered.
As advertised.
Wait, do they go to the retreat to get murdered? Is that like a
they feature? Go to the retreat because they think it's a self-help place, and then a murderer ends up being there. It's just as absurd as it sounds. The acting is horrendous. The guy's name, I forget his last name. Oh, it's his actual Christian name is Rib Hillis. That's the actor, the lead actor's name. And he's married to the lead actress, and somehow they have zero chemistry. But there is a scene that I laughed for, like, I don't know, 5 minutes, like, nonstop. Towards the beginning, she comes home from a bar, and he's, like, in a closet, like, on his phone, like, whispering. She's like, why are you in the closet whispering? He goes, oh, I'm on a call for work, and the guy's wife is asleep, so I have to be quiet. I died. It's like, why would you have to be in the closet and be quiet? Because his wife is asleep in a different house.
It's like that Homer Simpson thing. He's like, you're gonna have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel. Like, what?
Yeah. I was laughing so hard, like uncontrollably. And there's a lot of stupid scenes like that.
I didn't know Lifetime made horror movies.
They make a ton of movies.
Huh.
They have a series of movies. 4 movies long. That's called Stalked by My Doctor. And we watched the first one. All of them star Eric Roberts. He's the doctor.
Of course, he
falls in love with a girl whose heart he repairs, and then kidnaps her when she doesn't want to be with him. So we watched the first one. We actually watched the fourth one first because we didn't realize it was a series. The fourth one is called Stalked by My Doctor, A Sleepwalker's Nightmare. Where these women have sexomnia, which is they have sex while they're sleepwalking.
Hell yeah.
And he takes advantage of that.
Oh, hell no.
And no, it's not cool. But Eric Roberts is absolutely ridiculous in these things.
He's
ridiculous in most things.
I can only imagine, yeah.
These things are insane. But these insane, ridiculous Lifetime movies are all like an hour and 25 minutes long, and they're all hilarious.
I think I asked you this before. They have like an app that you use to watch these, or are they just
on? They do. Stacy got like a free week subscription trial thing to it, and that's why we watched a whole bunch yesterday.
Nice.
There's one that I believe she watched called Gaslit by My Husband's Ghost or something like that.
These titles are phenomenal.
I mean, they're a step away from like the Chuck Tingle titles, you know?
Yeah. But they're also like incredibly specific about what you're about to see.
Pounded in the butt by.
I was just called Gaslit by My Husband. But you can't not know what you're walking into based on the titles of the movies. You know exactly what you're going to get.
Warnings in the title.
100% they have a movie called Trigger Warning. Like, I have to.
They do. It's like a Daily Wire movie.
Oh my god. Hell yeah.
That's all the movies I watch. We're almost done with this season of Squid Game, and it is excellent. We have one more episode, and then the final season comes out like in June.
I need to watch it.
It's so good. I love it. And we're getting ready because The Righteous Gemstones comes out on Sunday. The final season, I believe.
Hell yeah.
And I'm very pumped for that. That show is outstanding.
Yeah, that show.
Sean.
Oh, I didn't watch shit.
cool.
I'm caught up on Severance. It has picked up. The last episode might be the best episode of the show.
Yeah, I'll jump in on this real quick because I watched the entire second season all day Saturday because I couldn't stop watching it. I love the show. I think it's fantastic. Like I went in, I finished season one on Friday night, and I was like, I'll watch a couple episodes Saturday, and I literally stayed on my couch all day and watched every episode up to seven. Seven's arguably the best episode of the entire series. I don't know. The finale of season one was, like, incredibly good.
It almost could stand alone from the show as a movie unto itself. It's that good. Talking to TJ, I think part of my problem with the pacing of the show is there was like a 2 or 3 year break between season one and season two.
Yeah.
So I watched all of season one and like it felt like it took forever for season two to kind of get back to where it left off.
Yeah. It's one of the benefits of binging it all at once and not having to wait. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so I didn't have any of those complaints. But I
understand. Is Daredevil out yet?
That comes out tomorrow, I think.
Oh, okay. I'm excited about that. But no, I didn't watch anything else. I know Gogs didn't watch anything, so TJ.
I watched, like I said, I watched all of Severance, which I mean, I'm like obsessed with the show now. Like, I love it. I think it's really good. I'm shocked it took me so long to watch it, but I really like it. I watched, hold on. I had the fucking thing up on my phone because the title of this is cumbersome. I watched Twilight of the Warriors Walled In. It is a martial arts movie / epic about the walled in city of I already forgot the name of the damn walled in city. It's a real place. Kowloon, which was actually a real place in China.
Also a Bagan Chinese restaurant in Boston.
Oh, hell yeah.
I used to go there when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And they like back when WWE was all territorial, like the wrestlers would go there every time they were in Boston. So there were pictures of like all the old WWE wrestlers autographed and like them eating Chinese food and stuff all over the place.
Did they also do stand up comedy there like every other Boston Chinese restaurant? I always hear them like, yeah, we used to play dim sum Chinese restaurant and all that shit.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, this is the movie TJ is getting ready to talk about. This is a movie I mentioned on the show recently where it was like too intense to watch. Like I had to put it down for a minute.
So funny you say that because the fighting in this movie is next level. It's fantastic. And it's like, it's not your like grounded raid style fighting. It's like insane. Like you kick a guy and he flies across the room kind of fighting. And it's very violent. The problem is the movie is incredibly long. Like, well, it's not that long, but it feels like it's 3 hours long because it's like it is trying to be like a crime epic. Like it spans years.
It's like Once Upon a Time in America or something.
I
mean,
literally, that's what it feels like. And, you know, I really, really liked a lot of this movie, but man, if I felt like by the end of it, I was like, God, is this over yet? Cause like the fighting is so good. Like, the fighting is absolutely ridiculous, and it's really good. But, like, the plot, you've seen this plot 1,000 times. Like, you know, this guy's, like, an outsider, and he gets brought into the city, and he's raised up by, like, the good mob boss. But then, like, the bad mob boss comes in and takes over. And then there's all this, like, kind of palace intrigue between the bosses. And, like, the one cool henchman of the bad guy, like, you know, he's going to be like the bad guy. And shockingly, he becomes like the big bad by the end of the movie. But it's about like friendship. And it's like, again, the movie is good. Like, I enjoyed the movie, But man, it drags. Like, and I think it, I think the quality of the fighting actually is detrimental to the movie, because you just want him to get to the fireworks factory. You know, you just want more fighting because the fighting is so fucking awesome. But then, like, there's just extended scenes of just yap, 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 yap. And this guy's father owes me a life debt. And this guy's kid, who I didn't know was his kid, owes me a life debt. And this and that. And you're like, oh my God, can you start kicking? Can you start kicking group, each other, please?
I feel like as a group, we're kind of anti-palace intrigue. Like, this has come up a lot recently, it seems like.
I mean, I enjoy it in certain, like, I like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. But I, you know, we like
procedurals. We don't like palace.
I like big spanning dramas, but like, it's like the fighting is so good. All I want to see is the fighting. You can't put that in front of me and then take it away.
And yeah, we all know how much TJ loved Australia.
Oh my God, that fucking movie. Baz Luhrmann sucks. Let it be known, he's fucking awful. But I liked a lot of this movie, but man, you could have cut 45 minutes out of it. It drags. But overall, like, it's definitely worth watching. It's got some of the most creative fucking fight choreography I've ever seen. Like, there's a part where this guy is driving a fucking, like, a dirt bike, and he, like, falls down on a gang of people, and he's, like, fucking running people over with his dirt bike, but then the big bad guy just, like, spin kicks the dirt bike, and it goes into, like, 100 pieces. It's, like, unbelievable. Like, it's so good. And at one point, like, I love this about Asian cinema specifically, because I feel like they do it in a lot of old Hong Kong movies and in a lot of Japanese films, where somebody will just say something and you're just meant to go with it and no one questions it. Like, the big bad guy is awesome. He's very like Majima-esque, if you're familiar with Yakuza games, because he's like a badass and he looks cool and he was always laughing. Like, he's got that kind of like kind of jokery kind of quality to him. But he, at one point, like, one of the good guys is fighting him and he goes, "Oh no, this guy has spirit powers," to which the bad guy goes, "Oh, you know your stuff." And then from that point on, he just goes like spirit shield and nobody can hit him because he has spirit powers that are never explained upon or anything. It's literally the middle of a fight. He's like, "Oh no, he has spirit powers." And the guy's like, "Fuck yeah, I do." And then
it's like, it's like little kids, but it's like, "Oh, now I can fly." It's like, all right, I guess I can fly. It's
so fucking funny. Cause like, they don't fucking explain it. And they literally just mention it once. And then it becomes like, "Well, we can't beat him because we can't touch him because he has spirit powers." And like, oh my God. But like,
God,
it's so like, so much of the fighting is so fucking cool. Like Sean mentioned in the beginning, it starts out in this like nightclub and they're in like a dance hall or whatever. And then they stop the dancing, right? And they're like, "Okay, everybody get your bets in." And they have this fucking like fight in the middle of the dance club. But before they do, they put glass all over the floor where the two guys are fighting. And like Sean said, there's one point where the main character literally drags his fist across the glass and then punches the guy. You're like, fuck yeah. There's so many like, fuck yeah moments in this movie. I just wish it was a little shorter and a little less of like the high drama. Cause I'm sorry. I don't care. I just want the kicking and the fighting. Like, I don't like, I feel like that article I read about Donald Trump where he found Bloodsport to be boring because like there wasn't and he just fast forward to the fighting. I kind of felt that way about this movie. But anyway, solid. Gogs, I'd still watch it.
It made me think of when you're talking about the spirit shield or whatever. Gogs, what's the thing in Warhammer where it's like the one race has a technology that only works because they have a collective belief that it works? Like it should.
Oh, that would be the orcs. They believe and therefore it happens. So they don't, stuff that should not work in the physical world works for them, and no one else can recreate it because no one else believes.
Yeah. This movie is
fun group of guys. They're also living fungus, so there's that.
It's kind of wonderful. It's kind of wonderful, but it also is kind of long and kind of takes forever. But I overall, I'd still give it like a 7. The fighting is so good. It's like, has to be seen, because like, I'm not familiar with this director, but I'm going to look up his other stuff, because if he does other martial arts movies and the fight choreography is this good, like, I have to see it, because like, the fighting in this is like, oh, it's so fucking good. So it's still a recommend for me. It's just, it's a little boring.
What's the name of it again? Say it one more time.
You would ask me that.
Kowloon, the walled city?
No, it's close to that. I just had it up. God damn it. Hold on. I have to close all my porn tabs.
Slaptown Races? What's it called?
It's called Slaptown Races. Hold on. It's like Twilight of the Warriors. It's okay. Twilight of the Warriors Walled In. Awful title. Absolutely horrendous title.
It's a real, yeah.
But great. I mean, like I said, as far as action goes, one of the best like martial arts movies, action wise, I've seen. This movie cost $300 million in China, so they put a lot of money into this fucking movie.
$300 million American?
It says Hong Kong dollar. I'm not sure what the exchange rate is, but I imagine that's still a lot of money. But again, worth watching. It's definitely a throwback to 90s Hong Kong movies. Like Sammo Hung is one of the bad guys. It was just cool to see him.
And he fights too,
which is cool, which I didn't expect.
I've never seen any of them, but this guy directed all those Monkey King movies.
I may have seen some of those.
I've seen them like on Netflix, but I've never watched one.
I watched this 2014 one. It was pretty good. But I haven't seen anything else he made. He made a movie called Killzone 2. That looks interesting.
I saw the first Killzone. That shit's good.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'd recommend this movie. Again, I just thought that the high drama didn't hit as hard for me as the kicking and the punching, but it's still good overall.
Oh, he's got a sequel to it coming out. Twilight of the Warriors Dragon Throne.
I mean, I'm definitely going to watch it because I'm telling you, you guys, like, this was a movie where Goggs would have been like peeing his pants at how ridiculous the fight scenes are, because it's definitely got many of those like it's so ridiculous. And like, there's a part where like you get introduced to the good mob boss, but you don't know who he is at first. And he's like a barber, and the main character runs in there. And he just whoops this guy's ass, but he has a cigarette in his mouth, and he like throws the cigarette up, and he like beats the shit out of him, and then he catches a cigarette and puts it back in his mouth. It's like, fuck yeah, dude. It's like the movie is like a hell yeah simulator. And like, it's the cool parts are so fucking cool. It kind of outweighs the boring parts. So yeah. That's everybody, right?
Yeah. Liz did confirm her. So I texted her. I was like, what would she come up with? Originally, she was trying to pull something out. She's like, 6 degrees of Saving Private Ryan. I was like, no, that wasn't it. It was close, though.
It's not bad.
But she was calling it the Pepe Sylvia year because of all the lines connecting Sylvia, everything. Pepe.
This whole floor is Pepe Sylvia.
This is a Pepe, yeah. But anywho, Vanya on 42nd Street.
Are any of you familiar with this play? Like, I've heard of Uncle Vanya, but have you seen a, like, how did you get exposed to Uncle Vanya before?
I was in it.
For real?
Yeah, I had to take a, like, I was short on fine arts credits in high school, so I had to take a drama class, so
Who'd you play? Did you play Waffles?
How many were Waffles? Yeah. No, the doctor.
You played the doctor? Oh, you are a sex hammer.
The sexy doctor.
Yeah, that makes sense. That checks out.
Don't ask me anything about it because I barely remember.
This is going to be
a very limited reference, but this play makes me think of, is it a Plague Tale Requiem? What is that super depressing game. PC game?
Yeah, the one about the brother and the sister. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Right off the bat, because you have experience, the part of the, we only see like parts of the play, right? The play is much longer. Like,
And
it's like fragmented. Like, we don't even
I think the play has like 5 or 6 acts. It's very long.
Cause we don't even, so, we're kind of like in media res of the play.
This is a play by Anton Chekhov as adapted by David Mamet, also adapted by Louis Val or whatever that guy's name is.
The intro credits to this were so confusing because it's like, it just like you just said, I was like, wait a minute, what? So this is an adaptation of an adaptation of an adaptation.
It's like the filming of an adaptation of an adaptation, I guess would be the best way to put it. Chekhov is the playwright that we get the gun from.
The gun, yeah, of course.
And like everything else Russian, it's bleak and long and depressing. Like,
And I gleaned from the parts of the movie that we get, it's literally just about being like lonely. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it's about searching for meaning and how there really isn't any because they're Russian.
Yeah. It's, and the sadness of the human condition and unfulfilled potential.
Even though we've already moved past it. So that Walled City movie, it is the second highest grossing Hong Kong film in history.
Besides,
it made a bazillion dollars over there.
Number one?
I don't know. It doesn't like say. Wolf, I'm just looking
Warriors
at that.
Or some shit.
Okay. That was huge. Here's this doesn't make any sense. So budget, they put 300 million Hong Kong dollar, but gross, the box office, they put 111 million U.S. dollars. Why would they do that? Anyway, go ahead.
But
we would understand it.
Yeah, but why wouldn't I want to understand the budget too?
The thing about this movie, and like it's, I guess, the only thing to really talk about besides like just it's just kind of like a masterclass in acting demos, is like it's meant to be a rehearsal of the play, but they're actually doing the play. So are we just watching the play, or are we watching a rehearsal of the play? You know what I mean? Like it gets kind of like, I'm not sure exactly what the framing of this is. Like,
well, is it like, it's shot or it's presented in such a way that it's like documentarian, but then it like, it's obviously all that first bit where like they meet everybody on the street is clear. It's scripted.
Yeah.
But then it just like, they go from having a conversation. I had to like run it back. They were having like a conversation when the play started, like when the drunk doctor's talking to the old lady, I thought that was just the two actors fucking chatting. Right. And then I had to realize that they were like, oh wait, no, this is it. Like this is happening.
Yeah.
Well, it's very weird.
I mean, there's no point in actually like going through like the beats of the story, right? Like,
I mean, the long story short is there's a group of people that live on a farm in Russia at like, I don't know when Chekhov was contemporary, but I'm assuming it's like post-World War II.
I think it's before that. I thought it was like closer to the turn of the century, but I could be wrong.
Okay, so like a quasi-industrial farm situation where you've got a group of, you've got Uncle Vanya and company that take care of the farm for this, like this professor guy who married Vanya's sister and then got the farm as a dowry, but that guy's like a fuck, and then she died.
He
like,
is a fuck.
His sister dies, and then he fucking trophy wiped up Julianne Moore. And then it's just everyone struggling with the fact that everyone wants to bang Julianne Moore except for the chick from the well from the Silence of the Lambs, and she wants to bang the good doctor, and everyone's drunk, and everyone's sad.
And Uncle Vanya is just like a fucking like intellectual curmudgeon that doesn't do anything. Like,
right, like he's a classic example of someone that just like has every idea in the world but has no
so the play was published in 1898, and
you're pretty close then, Sean.
Yeah.
So like he's just like, it's a classic example of someone that's got all every bright idea but doesn't ever have the will to execute it because probably fear of failure.
It's every annoying fucking philosophy. That's the word.
Philosophizer.
Yeah, major that you know what I mean. He's every fucking like rocket to Venus waiter that's read like Descartes too many times. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, man, we get it. Can I get those fucking tater tots or what's up?
So this is by the same director as My Dinner with Andre. So more about that next week. So
right. So anywho, I mean that's it. Then the whole thing ends up with Wallace Shawn like fucking firing off a pistol at people, but then everybody's cool at the end. So like, I don't know, man. It's like the movie's weird because I don't like, I get the mess. They beat you over the head with the message. I get it. Right. Like, I'm sorry. The play is weird because they beat you over the head with the message in the play. You're watching them do it. You are watching Wallace Shawn just act his ass off.
All the acting in this is phenomenal. Right. Like, I there's a movie that I really like that. And it's funny because I don't really like his movies anymore, but I used to really like Lars von Trier, and he made a movie called Dogville, which I really like. And Dogville it's a regular movie. Like the plot is regular, but all the set is literally just like a soundstage. And there's like chalk outlines that say like barn and like exterior and shit like that. And the reason the movie works is because like you get so caught up in the storyline, you forget about like you're literally watching something that's on like a stage, and you get so consumed with the storyline. And I think that's kind of what this movie is trying to do. I think it's like taking away the artifice of like a set and all this other things and the usual like trappings of a movie. So you just pay attention to the words that,
but
you
it's
and the acting. I don't know.
It's kind of discordant though, because like I don't know how to put this, but it's like the most beautifully shot movie I've ever seen with nothing going on at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it looks very great. Yeah.
But like for what purpose? Like
That's what I'm saying. Like it's the best picture of your fucking backyard garden hose spool anybody's ever taken. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like, oh, this is a beautiful photograph, but like why did you bother?
Yeah, I mean I said it at the beginning of the show, but I feel like I'm not smart enough to understand the intentionality of this movie, right? Like I don't even know why you'd make this. Like, well,
I think what it was is, while Sean's a theater guy, that other dude from my dinner with Andre is a theater guy. And it's like, hey, we want to put this play on. How can we get this as a movie? And it's like, well, we'll just do it this way, I guess. Like, because I find like actual, like film, like I'm not a big theater person anyway. I know Alec enjoys a musical here and there, but fucking, watching a filmed play, like I don't know if you ever watched a play that was filmed on stage, is fucking death. Like it is impossible to watch. I hate it. So like this is like this, it exists in this weird like liminal space between play and movie. I don't really know how to describe it.
Yeah, I mean that is true. And I will say that for as plain and as kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of there, It did hold my interest, so maybe it tricked my brain into like paying more attention to it, because I went in, you know, as soon as I read what it was about, and I was like, oh no, like I was worried. But like I said, I'm not going to tip my hand on my score yet, but like I didn't hate it, but like it's not that it was something I could ever see myself revisiting.
Well, it's like when you read the description, at least maybe I'm off, but when I saw the description, I was thinking it's going to be like a what's that David Mamet movie, State and Maine, where it's about the production, but all the shit that goes wrong, and they're fighting backstage and blah blah blah, and then they do the play. I didn't realize it was going to be a full on like semi dress rehearsal slash table read.
Yeah. It's very odd. And I mean, I guess in a way it's so I guess something should be said for the fact that it's such a weird idea. Like, I don't know if that necessarily is a good thing, but like, it's different. I will give you that.
I mean, if like, it was just like filmed on a stage, I would have killed myself. Like, no way I'm watching this whole thing. So like, I guess that worked for what it was. I don't know. It's also like, again, kind of discordant because they're wearing like, you know, contemporary clothing and stuff with this fucking like very like florid, you know, play dialogue that nobody talks like that.
I mean, it seems like it was like made just to like highlight the craft of these particular actors, and it does a great job of doing that.
It was very funny to see the police academy guy being a serious actor. I could not. And then you said in the chat, he's Punky Brewster's dad. Yeah, or whatever. Like, shit, you're in.
It's fucking.
What you doing, Punky?
It's the played a movie equivalent of that Chex Doom mod, where it's like we're trying to advertise Chex, but we also made this like really kick-ass first-person shooter somehow. Like, but don't worry about the video game part of it. We're just trying to get Chex out into the world.
It's very strange.
I know that was a reference for literally no one, and I almost feel odd making it. But
Alec, would you say that your favorite part of the movie was the acting? Really, it's the only part of the movie.
Yeah, it's as far as head scratches go with the Humdinger.
That speaks volume, sir.
Raves Alec.
Put that on the Blu-ray.
You know, I like a lot of things. I like funny things. I like action things.
Sure.
I like some horror movies.
Sure.
I like boring movies sometimes.
Sometimes.
This ain't it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't have any illusions about this one with you, though.
Yeah.
This was for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like the plays of Tarkovsky of Chekhov?
I like his bearing of the Starship Enterprise.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, one of the best.
They nuclear wrestle again? No,
no. here's something I guess we could talk about for a second. Wallace Shawn's like one of the best actors ever, but like, is there a vehicle for him in a like major Hollywood movie to be a lead?
No, of course not.
Which is sad, right?
Like, yeah, because he's like, he's built like Clint Howard. Like, he's not. He just like
I
have.
It's like I said at the in the text, right? Like, what cruel fate it is that he's such an amazing actor, but he looks like that. Like, what are you gonna do?
He's so good.
And I mean, everybody's
really
like,
good.
I feel like he was kind of born too late too, because I feel like you could be a really good character actor in like the '70s.
Oh, he's probably, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like. Julianne Moore's really holding her own too for being like kind of a youngish actress with like all these like theater people. Like they're really fucking getting it in.
I was really impressed with the girl.
Series 7?
Yeah, Series 7 / Lotion Girl. I thought she was great in this.
But everyone made it look pretty effortless. Like everyone just kind of was very like.
Everybody's excellent. This might be like, you know, coast to coast, one of the best like acting casts I've ever seen in a movie.
But it's just a weird, such a bizarre choice. Like the pitch for this must have just been like, yeah, we're going to like, I guess I kind of want to know, did a actual production of Uncle Vanya take place in that theater with that cast afterwards?
I don't know. It's a good question. I was looking up the Wikipedia and there's not a whole lot on it. Like it's pretty you know bare bones. Just like says, the movie. Hmm. Yeah. I mean it's critically like
praised. Well, it's in the Criterion Collection. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, I noticed on the transfer the file that I pulled up. But yeah, I don't know. Like. It's a movie that makes me feel more, you know, this seems like a real film bros type movie.
I'm glad we saw it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
I agree with that.
Like, I know it wasn't a oneer, but it felt like a oneer to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Because there's no definitive act breaks really. Like
there's a couple of times where they like pause to have a little conversation, but that's very brief.
There was also that one weird scene where Julianne Moore has a voiceover that is like,
oh yeah, yeah,
kind of out of touch with the rest of the movie.
It's also one of those things where it's kind of like nothing happens. They're just kind of bullshitting around, and then while Sean shoots off a couple rounds, and then they sign over the farm, and like that's the whole thing. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Like they juice now.
Well, and it's like I said in the beginning too. Like you don't even get the whole play. You're kind of like stuck. Like
well, thank
I don't
God.
Even because I remember at one point they stop and the director is like, "Oh, now a couple of months pass and like you can you know that things have transpired and all." But like I don't know. Like it seems like they just kind of it seems like they kind of started it at like kind of a weird point and ended it at like a weird point. Yeah. Like the ending feels like the ending, but like the beginning does not feel like the beginning, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I think it just sort of happened. I mean, I know nothing about the original play. I assume we saw the whole thing. So now it's interesting that we did not.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything else we want to add? This was a very short show. Alec, you got anything left in the tank, buddy? Yeah.
You know what the ultimate like problem with this movie is that somebody, whether film bro or girl or theater, you know, person has
film
like
bro is general
forced,
gender neutral.
Has fair enough. Has forced someone to watch this on a date. Like
oh,
you know,
someone
got
jerked off
to
this.
Can you imagine? Oh my god! I can't. That would be awful.
You want to Netflix and chill, Vanya on 42nd?
Well, and you know it's a nightmare too, because the person who has, you know, suggested has not only seen this movie and play, but has been in it five times. The other person has no idea what's going on and wants to ask questions, and they're like, "Shh!" the whole fucking time. Like, you know, it's just a fucking shit show. This date that I've made up in my head is awful.
How they would have done it better, or this is how I did it.
All right, five knuckle shuffle time. Sean is your pick, Sean.
Six? Like, yeah. I can't, it's not unforgettable, because, like, I still don't exactly know what the structure of this is. Like, that's like, this is the first time I've ever been kind of confused as to, like, what am I watching in a way, like, what, is this a play, or is it a movie, or is it, like, what's going on? And the acting is too good, and it looks too good. Like, it's too competent to give it, like, a shitty score.
Yeah.
But it's also not, like, interesting. Rating it as a movie, it's, like, a 3. But, like, performance-wise, it's so good. Like, and I guess, you know, we're watching it as a movie, not as, like, a tech demo for Wallace Shawn.
Tech demo for acting. Yeah.
Basically, like, I don't know, it's, like, a 6. I'm glad I saw it, you know, like it's in the repertoire, I guess, of like, you know, all that shit, like, I don't know, L'Age d'Or and fucking, I don't know what, like, what's the fucking, Pixies Black movie, Morpheus, the fucking,
I don't know.
Like, no, fucking, Andalusian Dog, or, you know, shit like that. But I could never in good faith recommend this to anyone. Wallace Shawn completionists, I guess. Like, I don't know.
You're trying 100% Wallace Shawn. You got to see this.
You got a platinum Wallace Shawn.
But I'm glad it's out there doing its thing. It's definitely different. It's better than, I'd rather watch this than, I don't know, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, I guess. I don't know. It's like a 6, but you could talk me into a 2. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a soft 6 and a hard 4. Like,
hell yeah! No. I wish I had a hard 4.
Yeah, Gogs.
Yeah, I don't. I like you calling it a tech demo. Whoever said that, that's like spot on. Like, it's so bizarre. Like, I don't hate it, and I won't forget it. And I actually didn't, like, I kind of was even with the story. I was like, okay, this is interesting. Yeah. It's like exploring those themes, but like, I never need to see it again. And I can't recommend it to anyone. So what does that make it? So I'm going to also go with the 6. It was like 6-7 for me, just based on just the acting chops alone.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's not, it's just, it's like, it's barely a movie. What was the other movie we watched that just wasn't a movie? The one with like the land sharks. You gotta be more
specific. Oh, Shark Exorcist?
No.
No, I think it was just called Land Shark.
Yeah, it was like just, it was just something just like, what the fuck? This feels like extra features on a Blu-ray more than it feels like a movie. Like,
but it's like if somebody made a podcast and released it on vinyl. Like,
yeah, like, there's a lot
sounds
of effort.
Amazing.
There's a lot of effort being put into something that feels very low effort. Like, and I just,
yeah.
I don't know, but like the acting is phenomenal. Like, I imagine if I had any affinity for the story of Uncle Vanya, I'd probably like, hell yeah. Like, if I was just Chekhoving real hard, I'd be like, fucking,
I want to meet that guy. And it's like, fuck yeah. Best Uncle Vanya I've ever seen.
Sounds like a state sketch.
Yeah. But no, it's Wallace Shawn. I'm giving Wallace Shawn a 10. I'm just giving the picture a 6. I want to hear Alex's version last. So TJ.
I'm going to side exactly with you guys. It's a 6 for me, dog. I didn't hate this movie, but I was dumbfounded as to like why it exists. Again, like we've talked about this before with other movies, but like sometimes I can see what you're trying to do, but I don't really understand why, and I don't necessarily think it works. Again, I think the vision for this is to completely strip everything away. So the only thing you focus on is the power of the words and the acting, right? Like, that's all you got, because that's all you got.
Yeah.
And I get that. I understand that. And it does, again, the movie did not lose my interest. So it must have worked on some level that I'm maybe not even giving it enough credit for. However, I can't, like, it's nothing I'll ever watch again. I don't find the actual storyline that they portray in Uncle Vanya to be particularly compelling. And, you know, it's one of these movies that does kind of, you know, it's one of these kind of thinker, not a stinker kind of thing, where they're just postulating, like, about the human condition and life. And I used to want to be an intellectual when I was a kid. I used to love these kind of things, but it's not really compelling, and they don't really like make any kind of new insights or something that I'm like, oh, that's an interesting way to put it. I don't know, like,
because intellectualism is fucking tedious and boring. That's why. Yeah. It's all fucking like classic Krusty.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite. But I mean, again, the acting is so good. Everybody in this movie is doing so much work with nothing. Like, they're literally just sitting down and doing their parts, but they still bring a lot of emotion to the characters. I thought everybody was really good. Shame on me for not knowing her name, but the actress that played in Series 7, a movie that we all love, and, you know, Silence of the Lambs, she should have been a much bigger actress. That she acted her fucking ass off in this movie. And everybody did. And again, it is a crying shame that Wallace Shawn couldn't be in more like serious dramatic movies, because he looks like a fucking Muppet.
He's so unfuckable.
Yeah. But he's there is a, like, one of the funnier scenes in this is when he, in like kind of the beginning of the movie, he tries to make a move on Julianne Moore, and she's like, "You repulse me." Which I thought,
Brooke Smith,
I was like, man,
the Series 7 lady's name.
Yeah, Brooks. She even has like a basic ass name.
She's great. I mean, she's really good.
Great.
She's fantastic. And, you know, she should have been a much bigger star. I don't even know if she's still active, but she was great. It's a six for me, dog.
Do you, like, I'm sure there were, but I feel like this is a movie where I don't see them doing takes. Like,
it's hard to say.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like they just, like a play, like you're just gonna one, not a one shot one, but like they just.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't see anybody. The fucking everybody loves Raymond Mom or whoever that bitch is hitting. We're all freeloaders under God that hard on one take. You know what I mean? I feel like that's got to go a couple times.
I don't know. It feels like a weird movie to say, let's do that again.
Well,
like,
But to, like, Sean's point, the movie is like framed and shot like meticulously well. I can see that over multiple takes. You know what I mean? I'm not saying they weren't long ass takes, but I can definitely see them being. It wouldn't surprise me if there was none, and it wouldn't surprise me if there was a lot. If that makes
sense. Fair enough.
Mr. Alec.
One.
Yeah, of course.
Boring.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you, and I completely understand where you're coming from.
You know, I'm not your dad. I don't need things to be funny as hell or scary as hell. Something has to happen.
I don't know, dude.
Good Lord.
You have some Tim Stamball qualities. I mean, to be fair, it is a great metric. I mean, the man has his faults, but that is a pretty great metric to judge film.
It's a good barometer.
Yeah.
He likes funny things and he likes scary
things. We should have a bonus month where we just do a scary as hell or funny as hell movie. When my dad dies, we'll do it in his memory.
Live from his grave.
So it's a one, huh, buddy?
Oh, it's a one. This thing is a turd. And if I heard correctly, don't expect too much different next week.
Well, next week it's an actual movie, but it's very dialogue heavy. I'll say that. But it's more of a movie.
Well, and it's even better because there's only two people talking
the whole movie. True. So, Alec, next week's movie has a cast. It has a cast of four people next week, and it's your pick to go off of that. So. They're painting you. They've painted you into a corner, brother.
You can pick another Wallace Shawn movie.
Absolutely not.
This is a stress test. This was a let's see how far we can mash this until it squeezes.
Yeah, Sean's really testing the limits of this this format. All right, so that is Vanya on 42nd. Next week, a movie that we've brought up on the show probably 100 times at least, probably more. Wallace Shawn and one of the other guys in this movie, right? Am I wrong, Sean? Wasn't one of the other guys in this movie? And
Also, I will put this out there with like you guys, no hesitation. We are the only podcast to review Shark Exorcist and Vanya on 42nd Street. No chance anybody else has ever done that.
Phenomenal range on this podcast.
Yeah, that's
talk about painted into a fucking corner.
Yeah,
the two other guys next week have both only been in two things, one of which was the same movie.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all gonna get it. Don't you worry. Oh, I know what it is. Never mind.
You already got one?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so next week, my dinner with Andre. I've been kind of excited actually. I full disclosure, I like that movie, so I
same.
Yeah. Maybe I haven't watched it in years. Also, it's you got to give it up. It has a great Simpsons joke. Martin playing the My Dinner with Andre video game. Tell me more.
All right, that's Trenton the observation button.
All right, that's the show. Next week, My Dinner with Andre. So yeah. Everybody, have a good week. Alex already gone.
Alex already committed to leaving. His delivery on turd fucked me up.
It was pretty funny. I mean, I did not expect him to like this movie. I didn't expect to like this movie. And I liked it more
than I don't even know if I do like this movie.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'm sitting with it.
What if I go back to watching it?